Hello everyone, respective viewers, welcome back to my channel. It's George from Ireland. So I'm looking at the election in India. So the election of the Parliament of India just ended yesterday, if memory serves, and it took place over 6 weeks. And they always do this. I was actually in India for the 1999 election. And they stagger over several weeks from state to state. And they don't announce any results till all the states have cast their ballots. The Union of India, as it used to be known, comprising 28 states, each one based around a major language. And this being India, major has to be like at least 50 million native speakers. So he's becoming prime minister again, a third term, could carry on for 5 years. But it is, in many ways, has been a disappointment. Now, everybody forecast that the Bharatiya Janata Party, the Indian People's Party, would emerge as the largest party, and indeed it has. But it's never, for a long time, it hasn't been large enough to govern on its own. And so there's this very unwieldy coalition of like dozens of parties, because India being such a vast country, the vastest in the world in terms of population, there's, of course, an enormous amount of diversity. And it's actually quite large in area as well. Is it the 10th biggest country in land area? So, it's the subcontinent. As people say, it's more linguistic and ethnic diversity than Europe, for example, or Africa. And so there are very strong regional identities. These Indian states, most of them, if they were independent countries, would be regarded as medium-sized countries by population alone. As I say, having roughly 50 million each. So that would be the size of, say, South Korea or Italy or Argentina, something in terms of population. Some parties are only in one state. Now, only two parties, the BJP and Congress, are big enough to have members of parliament elected in two or more states. I mean, okay, those two, they have them elected in like over a dozen states each. But BJP is carrying on. Congress has got a lot of allies as well. The BJP leads the NDA, the National Democratic Alliance, whereas earlier this year, Congress cobbled together INDIA. Yes, the acronym spells India, as an initiative for a national development inclusive agenda. I think that's what this rather tortured acronym spells. But it's partly because they said that they suspected the BJP wanted to officially redesignate the country Bharat, as in one of its Hindi language names, saying the word India is an Anglophone imposition. Let's completely decolonize. They've done that in all sorts of symbolic ways. So going back to this now, Narendra Modi is personally popular. He is a practicing Hindu, as he does not hesitate to remind people. And he said this Hindutva agenda. And if people are of dubious citizenship, if they're a Hindu, they'll be granted Indian citizenship. If they're not, they won't. Because some people were undocumented. Until a few decades ago, a lot of people in India didn't have birth certificates. Literacy wasn't that high. Now it's now over 80%. Every child in India goes to school today. But there's some elderly people, particularly women, particularly deep in the countryside from the scheduled castes, who didn't get the chance to go to school when they were children, like say in the 1950s. And sometimes they had identity documents, sometimes just on paper. These things got lost, got burnt or whatever, and things weren't computerized till the 90s. I remember going to banks in India in the 90s, and there'd be huge big ledgers. They'd be writing it by hand because, they hadn't got computers there, because obviously they were, 20 or 30 years behind Western countries in terms of technology, because India wasn't that wealthy. It's a middle-income country now, but it wasn't that until 20 years ago. I remember going to cities over a million people. There wouldn't be a single ATM. And card transactions, which is forget it, they were unheard of. So the 73-year-old Mr. Modi, he's a bit displeased because it's not the result he was hoping for. It's not disastrous. Let's call it mediocre. You need 270 seats in the Lok Sabha, the House of the People, in order to command a majority. And he's only got 200 and he's got fewer than he needs, right? So he'll carry on like that. And the opposition parties, they've got 232. That's obviously led by Congress. There's some minor parties. They're not in the BJP-led National Democratic Alliance. They're not in INDA. They're in between. They're genuinely independent parties. So the BJP, they won 300 seats last time. And he's won rather fewer than that. So what's he going to do? Well, very likely he'll carry on as prime minister. But, you know, at 73, he's no spring chicken. Having said that, he leads a very healthy lifestyle, abstemious with regard to alcohol, no tobacco, and what else? Obviously, he wouldn't come within a million miles of narcotics, eating a vegan diet, regular exercise, yoga, stuff like that. He was married briefly. He and his wife separated, had no children. So I don't think he's got any health concerns in that regard. So someone who could easily live for more decades. But, you know, 73-year-olds are often not that healthy. But I'm not aware of the least health concerns. He seems to be sprightly and energetic. He's not as ebullient as you might assume. Now, the Indian economy is going very well. I mean, since the millennium, there's been healthy economic growth. And since there was a credit crunch in 2008, before that, we'll sort of be getting 10% economic growth per annum. But 2008, a bit of a wobble. But after about 2012, recovered to really healthy economic growth. Yes, some slowdown during coronavirus, but it's now somewhere up like 10%. And that is tremendous, lifting people out of poverty. To the extent that even India has its own aid program for less economically developed countries, young Indians can go abroad and they can help out in terms of healthcare, education, engineering, whatever countries need to help them lift people out of impecuniosity. India's got its own space program. You know, only a car is average these days and stuff like that. But, you know, it's people in some ways, it's still behind Western countries in terms of the actual US dollar income per capita. You've got to remember that $1 would buy a lot more in India than it would in an Occidental country. So why did he not do so well? Perhaps that they felt the process of wealth hadn't been shared enough. Frustrations about corruption. Pollution is a big issue. You know, India's largely succeeded in defeating poverty. I'm not saying no one's as poor, but really, like, nobody is starving. I mean, nobody's probably ever starved to death in India for decades because of the 1940s. Remember, within living memory, millions of people starved to death. Millions. And so the government of India, since independence, said we'll never allow that to happen again. And sort of price control, subsidizing sales of staples like rice and beans. But, you know, some people might still have been able to get one meal a day. I think it's a lot better than that now. So maybe the anti-poverty drive hasn't gone far enough. The people, you know, are maybe not quite even malnourished, but they'd like sort of more pairs of shoes, more pairs of items of clothing and so on, larger houses. And of course, they're Indian billionaires, so they're not taxed enough. It's very easy to get away with it. Income tax is actually very, very low in India. So because they've largely defeated poverty, what about the environment? That's a very expensive thing to sort out. Even the most advanced economies in the Western world find this too pricey to have clean energy. I mean, everyone is going to have clean energy, but where? You know, Western European countries might have it completely 100% renewable in maybe 30 years. India might be more like 60 years because it's just unaffordable. And everyone said, you know, you Western countries, you had your industrial revolutions in the 19th century. We didn't have ours till the late 20th century. And you put all those carbon emissions to lift your people out of pauperism. And so we've got to do the same. So you have to accept we're going to have to wreak some damage to the environment for the sake of lifting people out of unimaginable poverty. So maybe it was an ineffective campaign by him. His sloganizing didn't work. Congress had a glib demagogue, Dr. Shashi Tharoor, whom I've had the misfortune to hear address the Oxford Union Society. And I'm a bit of a lookalike for him. Maybe you'll agree. Though we would be on the opposite side of the debate were it to talk about the British Raj in India. So, somewhat indecisive result. And I didn't see it coming. It was widely anticipated that the BJP would win. Not an absolute runaway landslide, but they would get a majority. And they've fallen a bit short for that. Now, this may prove to be a fissiparous coalition. These things tend to be fissile, especially so many years into their administration. And minor parties will huff and puff and throw tantrums and threaten to pull the plug on him if he doesn't do what they want, the sort of situation you see in Israel. But of course, there's so many minor parties, it takes quite a few of them to pull out to actually collapse the government. Anyway, what do you think? Please put your comments below. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. And thank you so much for that benefaction today from a donor who shall remain anonymous unless you wish to be identified. If you do, direct message me. Right, toodaloo. Goodbye, everyone.